Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in our new podcast series where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing our industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change, including greater efficiency. Today, I'm talking to Veronica Puncheva, Global Director of Corporate Responsibility at Metro. Veronica's been very involved with the CGF for 3 years now and has this year taken on the role of co-chair of our sustainability initiative, working across issues such as food waste, forced labour, deforestation and more. She will also be speaking at our Sustainable Retail Summit next month in Berlin. So if you enjoy this episode, you know where to find her. Hi, Veronica. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your likely very busy day to join me.
It's a pleasure. Great to join you, Louise.
So let's dive straight in. You've personally been involved with the CGF for about 3 years now. And this year, you've taken over the role of co-chair for our sustainability work stream, which includes environmental, social and SSCI. So why is the work of the CGF so important in your opinion?
Indeed, I'm part of the CGF work now for almost 3 years. And I've met amazing people at CGF, but also have seen the power of CGF as a unique cooperation platform, which empowers companies in our industry, from the CEO to the sustainability leaders and experts across functions and geographies to cooperate and find solutions for some of the biggest challenges for our businesses and the society. And I must say there are not many platforms like CGF which bring together this kind of unique decision power and thought leadership. As we speak, now, the world news are dominated by topics like the crisis with the rainforest fires in Brazil, or plastic challenge, the Fridays for Future, data security topics. And it's all happening in parallel, which I'm afraid is the new normal. And these are concerns of our customers. These are concerns of our employees, of our shareholders. And the businesses need platform not only to discuss, but also to act jointly. And CGF, as I have seen it in the last few years, is a great facilitator. And what is also more encouraging, we see increasing involvement not only from the US, Europe, and Latin America, but also from businesses from Japan and China. So I think for our industry, the consumer goods and retail, who is facing these challenges, CGF is just the right place to be.
Well, we certainly hope that we can provide that service. And as you said, Veronica, you personally and all of our members are juggling so many different topics in parallel, and that must be a huge challenge. I wanted to talk to you first about one in particular, and that's food waste. So I know that Metro has embarked upon this strategic partnership with a food waste fighting app called Too Good To Go, who will be speaking at the Sustainable Retail Summit, by the way, in October in Berlin. Maybe you could tell me a bit more about this initiative and the latest on Metro's work to fight food waste.
Yeah, I would love to. And but before starting to talk about the cooperation with Too Good To Go, I'd like to say that food waste is an important topic for Metro, not only for our business, but also for the business of our customers. Because at Metro, we are serving independent businesses, the hospitality sector, independent traders. And in the last 4 years, since we launched the so-called Metro Techstars Accelerator, we've seen increasing number of high-level tech innovation coming from the startup scene and some of them really exciting about solutions for the food waste problematic, both in the hospitality sector and for the retail part. And many of the solutions demonstrate a very innovative food waste angle. So it could be an intelligent food waste bin, which scans, analyzes, and measures the waste in the restaurant kitchen, or a dynamic shelf life sensor.
Okay.
But our cooperation with Too Good To Go is something more special, because it started first in Germany, and it started with our own Metro canteen.
Okay.
You know, as a big organization, we all have canteens, cafes, yeah, restaurants. We started small, mm-hmm, and we quickly understood that the idea has enormous potential. So we rolled it to stores, to more countries, and honestly, we have big plans ahead of us, because the concept is so simple, so intuitive, so exciting, so efficient, it's almost addictive. And it has all winning components, because we save food, so it's good for the environment and also for our CO2 footprint. It has also a solid business angle, as it is good for our bottom line. And it shows respect to the people who produce and prepare the food. So we at Metro are really obsessed with the success of our business customers. We see Too Good To Go as one really cool tool which reduces the waste in our operations and helps us invest in our freshness, but also helps our customers in their business. So we have launched corporations in Germany and Netherlands already, and we have the ambition to see Too Good To Go nearly everywhere where Metro is present. And on a personal note, if I need some inspiration what to cook for dinner, I look at the app and I look at what's available around my location at the end of the working day, and I can get a surprise bag and start from there. And if I don't want to cook tonight, I look at what restaurant food is available for pickup. And thanks to Too Good To Go, I have seen so many new places, and some of them became favorites. So Too Good To Go, on top of it, is also led by an amazing young woman entrepreneur. And as we are trying also in our industry, but also at Metro, to empower women and contribute to some of the other SDGs, like reducing inequalities.
Yeah.
So it's really an amazing cooperation.
That's really interesting. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing the CEO speak at SRS. So another topic I wanted to talk to you about, and it's something that I think you and I have spoken personally about before, and it's this big challenge that we struggle with at the CGF and beyond, and that is on forced labour and getting companies to step up and speak about it publicly. So as we know, many are actually happy to do the work in their supply chains, but don't want to speak out about it. And we see that on the working group at the CGF. So how, in your opinion, can we and should we be encouraging companies to lead on this topic and talk about it?
Well, I think one of the reasons companies feel uneasy to speak about forced labor is that some of them think that their brands might be associated with forced labor.
It is understandable.
Yeah, and as businesses, we are all never sure that we are good enough in fighting forced labor. So we know it's a complex topic and sometimes also invisible. But here I'd like to quote Oxfam, who at our special event of business leaders and governments working to eradicate forced labor ahead of the CGF summit in Vancouver earlier this year, said that we need to be intolerant toward inaction on forced labor. And I think that this is probably one of the recipes which we can follow to encourage companies to talk about that. So to ask them to speak about the efforts, maybe not yet about all the results which we have achieved, maybe we're not completely happy, but again, intolerance towards inaction. And I'm confident that from the work we do with CGF member companies, there are many great actions taken and a lot of good stories to be shared. So we're simply too shy. And one of my ideas and wishes is to invite communication experts in our sessions with the colleagues in the core group on sustainable, specifically on social, in order to get their perspective. What is the narrative which they could work with? And then most probably prepare or pilot and test some of these ideas and see how comfortable do our communications people feel and what kind of proof points we as experts need to deliver to them in order that they start communicating.
That is a very good idea. Obviously, I'm on the communications team at the CGF. I would love to be involved in a meeting like that. I think it would be very useful for us to understand how we can help to empower people as well and build that narrative together. I don't think it should necessarily be an extremely scary topic to talk about. I think there are ways to speak about it without risking one's reputation. But yeah, definitely a conversation to be had.
I believe also that we need to be more creative when we develop this more compelling narrative and show the positive side of our efforts. So in last year, I remember we had at Metro a series of training for our own teams to identify and help them identify and react to situations which they could encounter in our own operations around forced labor. And the first reactions of our teams were, they were very surprised. But then if you start working with them, they first of all start feeling more comfortable and they start feeling comfortable to speak about this topic. So I think we need to find ways to translate this discussion into customer behaviors, choices, and we need to acknowledge that every small step towards forced labor free supply chain is important and just encourage it. So you can make it cool to talk about forced labor, but we can see some interesting solutions and we can see some of the really creative ways to build a narrative and encourage people to talk about their success stories.
Absolutely. And I think what's encouraging is that we are starting to see, I think you already said it, but some examples of companies speaking out, like at our event that we held in Vancouver this year with the B team. We had, I better get them right, we had Mars Incorporated, Kellogg's and Danone, who the CEOs of those three companies who spoke out on it, and representatives from several of the member companies. So it is happening. So Veronica, I wanted to switch back to talking about food. I mentioned before the Sustainable Retail Summit, which Metro are kindly sponsoring later this year, or next month, in fact. And one of our big topics is going to be the future of food. And I believe that Metro has done some work recently on rethinking protein. That's a topic that's very interesting to me personally. What is your take on how food will and maybe should evolve in the coming years in order to tackle the threat that is clearly posed by climate change?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there is a big transformation coming, and part of this transformation is happening in the food sector. I don't know, maybe you have seen A.T. Kearney has published a report recently stating that by 2040, 35% of all meat will be cultured and about 25% will be vegan replacement. So it's consolidated about 60% of the meat which you're going to find on the shelf in 2040 will be not the meat which we know.
Okay.
And this is a huge transformation.
Yeah.
For us, I think at Metro, this is a big discussion, a big topic. We know that there are more than 30,000 edible plants on the earth, and we consume about 150, and only five animal sources today account for about 75% of the entire world's nutrition. For us, the work on the alternative proteins is not only important, but we also see some very encouraging results. You're going to see NX Food, and NX Food is a hub of Metro operating in the field of food innovation and food tech. They'll be at the Sustainable Retail Summit. They're scouting for innovative food solutions, for alternative proteins and innovative ways of producing food. And thanks to their work at Metro, we've introduced solutions like in-farm, in-store farming platforms in Berlin and Paris. The one in Paris is 80 square meter. and it's producing up to 4 tons microgreens per year, which are CO2 neutral with a fantastic taste. We have also introduced Moving Mountains and Beyond Burger, like plant-based burgers, yeah, or insect-based pasta from Memento Foods.
Gosh.
I have to say that some of these products are immediately accepted by consumers.
Yeah.
Others need to be creatively transformed. But thanks to our close cooperation with restaurant chefs, we can test and pilot such ideas and get lots of valuable inputs from them. And what we see is that the appetite for local, vegetarian, vegan, healthy is growing very, very fast.
I know that in Germany, there just seem to be so many vegan options, which is interesting because some of the very traditional dishes there are heavy meat-based dishes, but I'm very much looking forward to coming to Berlin to try some innovative food options.
Yeah, especially the Berlin culinary scene is extremely innovative, and I know that our colleagues from NX Food will do their best to bring as many as possible interesting solutions, and I'm sure you're going to find some new inspiration for your vegan diet.
Yeah, I can't wait. So have you tried any interesting or strange new proteins?
Absolutely. I love trying all this stuff, and yeah, my family is sometimes a little bit shocked by what they find in the fridge.
Oh.
And we have also tried some of the bug burgers, so protein-based or insect-based burgers. So they are getting better and better over time, because in the beginning the taste was a little bit too dry, but now it's getting better and better. And the innovation which we see in this territory is just amazing. And it's very important also for the chefs, for our critical customer base, because for a restaurant chef, the protein is the center of the plate. Would it be a piece of meat or fish or other kind of protein? So I think we're extremely lucky to have their ideas and their concepts and their constructive feedback sometimes, but a lot is happening in that territory.
Super. So you're obviously a foodie yourself, so we'll keep talking a little bit more about food. I know that you're also on the Health and Wellness Steering Committee. Why is the work of this initiative important to Metro?
I think it's again connected to the previous topic which we discussed. I was really impressed a few years ago when I saw, and I think it was at the Sustainable Retail Summit, when the team presented that 85% of the society, 85% of the people today consider food their first medicine. So what we eat is extremely important for our health, and being part of the discussion with the team at CGF and the colleagues from the Health and Wellness Steering Committee is very valuable for us. We are not yet a direct part of the cooperation for healthier lives, except in France. So in France, we started to be part of it. And we believe that this transformation will be important also for our customers. But we hope to become more visible in the health and wellness discussion, again, mainly through the products which we offer. And we believe that it's not only reformulation, it's exactly the new kind of food, the innovative food, the alternative proteins, the conscious proteins. There is so much future in this food. I think we're very enthusiastic.
Super. So Veronica, starting to wrap things up a little bit, I would like to hear your personal opinion on the big challenges that you think our industry is going to face moving forwards, maybe in the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, I think one of the most critical challenge for the whole industry is that, first of all, the consumer goods and retail is at the forefront of the consumer attention. And we all need to find growth models which do not rely only on the increased resource usage. Because the business models which we know are about selling more goods or services in order to create more value, Mm-hmm. And this means mostly use more natural resources, more energy, more time. And we see that the current growth models are running out of steam. Moreover, this is no longer acceptable. This is no longer tolerated by our customers, by the society. And we simply cannot afford it because we do not have these resources. The work which we do at CGF, both environmental and social, is part of that conversation. So I think that CGF gives us this stage with the right level of management attention to look for opportunities to develop more collaborative growth models. Would it be through data, through health and wellness, through sustainability? And for me, this work is extremely valuable because CGF means for me personally growth, sustainability, purpose, and ethics. And it's not only talking how businesses should be addressing this within, but also jointly developing solutions and demonstrating how real change can be made.
Okay, so on a personal note to end things here, what gets you jumping out of bed in the morning? What keeps you inspired and motivated to keep doing the very important work that you're doing on these topics?
Well, I have two passions, and one is food and the other one is people. Mm-hmm. So if I find in my daily work something which is extremely exciting, it's about finding new food solutions and addressing the possibility to see new food solutions which are less critical for the environment, more positive for the people. And if I can bring some of my expertise, leadership, and knowledge, which I have collected over time, to help people to grow within this new framework, this makes me really happy.
Wonderful. They're two very, very good passions to have. Thank you so much for taking the time today. And I look forward very much to seeing you next month in Berlin at the Sustainable Retail Summit.
Thank you very much, Louise. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. For any listeners who want to find out more about the work of the CGF, as well as the Sustainable Retail Summit, where you'll be able to carry on the conversation with Veronica in person, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. We're very grateful to our sponsor Metro, who's kindly supporting the Sustainable Retail Summit this year. And there's still time to register if you don't yet have your ticket. Please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. Thank you, and bye for now.